This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Marcus, you and I were talking about you doing over 300 dates a year, traveling all over, speaking. But of all the places you go, Marcus, I'll promise you, there's no other place anywhere near this place like this place. This must be the place because this place loves God. This place loves America. And this place loves America's military.
Flock.
Yes, Marcus.
Is that why you're smiling all the time? That's
why I smile. And Marcus said, you've got a great flock. I said, Marcus, that's why I've stayed 30 years in the same place, brother. Same place. Same.
They like right. You that much?
Well, they've let me, you know, they've let me stay, Marcus. You know.
That's how I go.
Yes, they've let me stay. Marcus, you and I were talking about I'd preach some in Nacogdoches, Texas. And you said, Pastor, where you preach there in Nacogdoches, Texas is about 30, 35 minutes from where I live. What was it like growing up? Tell us a little bit. What was it like growing up in East Texas?
So thank y'all for having me, by the way. How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Make sure that you are, all right? No matter what's going on out there, we're going to make it through this.
Amen. Okay.
The best way to describe it, if when you're in Texas, this is funny. If I say I'm from East Texas when I'm in Texas, and they're like, well, you're not far enough east to call yourself an East Texas boy. I grew up right in the heart, the center of it, in between Houston and Dallas. And then Nacogdoches is, like I said, 35, 40 minutes a little outside. But there's a whole bunch of little towns that have some universities in it. And then you got the big cities. And I grew up right in the middle of that.
Yes.
On a horse ranch. So we, as I got older and my you know, mom sent me to dad, and my dad let me get out and kind of wander around, and we would make our way in and out of those places. And a lot of my buddies went to school out there.
Sure.
So it's small town feel. And that's kind of like that community, that common unity, right? We grew up, and I knew I was in a good place when I pulled in here, because the only other time I've seen a sword like that stuck in the ground is, is right down the road from my house. Same size. Looks just like that.
All right.
That white, the cross outside. I call it a sword, but, you know. Because those things can go either way.
Amen.
You can either bless them with the word or bless them with it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Marcus, these people certainly appreciate your service and all. How did, Marcus, this whole deal about becoming a Navy SEAL, how did that happen?
So that was my brother's idea, not mine. I have an identical twin brother. We're mirrors. He's the alpha, the two of us. He was born before me, 7 minutes. At least that's what he keeps telling me. But he's the left side, I'm the right. He's left-handed, does everything, and I do the other side. He's kind of my hero. I followed him blindly wherever we went. He drives everywhere we go. He's kind of still the boss. I get in trouble with him. He yells at me. It's weird. I don't know. I can't talk to me like that. I'm a grown man. And whatever. So I was down in the barn feeding the horses one day. I was in early teens. He came running down there, excited. He's like, I know what we're going to do. We're going to be Navy SEALs. I didn't even know what that was. Sea, air, and land specialists. He's like, we're going to jump out of airplanes, shoot guns, blow stuff up, scuba diving. There's a pretty good chance we're going to die. I was like, sign me up. That's exactly what I want to do. Because I don't like violence. I was a little bitty growing up. I got picked on, and just like everybody else, you know, especially by him. Right? I mean, I played tennis and was in drama in high school and college. That tells you anything? So I had to be molded into this.
What was your size, Marcus?
When I graduated. When I was born, I was 4 pounds, 3 ounces. My brother's 3 pounds, 8 ounces. And As we grew up, we didn't grow like everybody else. Our eyes were going in different directions. Like, he had one of mine, I had one of his, so we was always looking at each other. You ought to hear my father talk about this. He's like, boy, and I'm a father now. And I tell even my kids were funky looking, I'd be like, you're beautiful, I love you. My dad would be like, man, you're funky looking. He's like, but that's okay. He's like, you're going to be trained. I am going to train you every day of your life. And as you grow from a boy into a man, he would always tell me that. He wasn't my friend at all. He was real upfront about that. My shoes are here for you to walk in every now and again if you need them. They are not here for you to fill. Period. He's like, through your life, I'm going to give you two things. One of them you're going to earn. I'm going to give you discipline every day of your life. Through that, you're going to get respect. Respect for yourself and respect for other people. Amen. Only time you ever lose your respect is when you lose your discipline. You're the only one that can throw that away. Period. I come from a matriarchal family. The women run the show. I mean, that's how it is. People are like, I come from one of those too. I'm like, no, you don't. Not in it. Or if you do, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the only time you ever see the men is when they come to tune you up. Because you got out of line with one of the ladies. And most of the time you don't even know you do it.
Yes.
And just my dad come home, he's like, I know you did something. Just because I didn't catch you didn't mean you didn't do it. I'm going to tune you up. That's that father wisdom right there. So my brother being the eldest, he kind of took the brunt of it. And as we grew up, when I graduated high school, I was 5'6", around 154 pounds. So like I say, this is all anthrax and government work. I grew another inch and a half when I was 23. And I came back from my grandmother's funeral, the first time we had been back, and I was 6'5", 280 pounds. And they were like, good Lord, son, what happened to you? I was like, I don't know. What do you mean? Because I still have I like to joke around and kid. I'm more like a battery. You know, you kind of put me in the middle of what we're doing, we'll be doing it. Like the running joke was, I'll make a bad time into a bad good time. Right, we're just going to keep going until we run out the backside. And never quit. So with my brother, when I say he's the alpha, he is the alpha of the two of us. I mean, I look up to him. Anything you think I've been through is nothing compared to what that joker has. I mean, he's been in helicopter crashes, broken 14 deployments, I think.
Wow.
He just kept going back. He was in a helicopter crash and broke his back. People died. He got back online, went back over 3 more deployments, broke his back again in Afghanistan. And he called me from the hospital. I was on the movie set, and he called me from Germany. It's a funny story. And the first thing he said to me is like, bro, I didn't get shot. And he's one of the only males in our family for a couple of generations that hadn't been shot, so we give him a lot of grief for it. And we exist. There's those. We're out here. We're weird. Sorry. So I hung up on him. He was in the hospital, and he called me back. He's like, I'm really in the hospital. I was like, I know. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to be all right. He's like, but I think they're going to get... After a while, guys, in our line of work, we can't... Youth is a tool. It's hard for us to pull that weight. And then we come liabilities. And when you realize that's the hardest thing to give up, is to walk away from it. The day they told me I couldn't be a Navy SEAL anymore hurt worse than anything. I was like, what do I need to get back in the gym? What are you talking about? I mean, give me some more titanium. What do I need to do? Just stay in that. And then my brother's like, well, I got to find something harder to do than being a Navy SEAL. So he went to med school. He's a cognitive neuroscientist. I don't even know what half that stuff is. He's just real smart. And, he went and did all that so he could fix me, because I get beat up. I mean, I came here to bleed. That's what I came here to do. So if I wasn't doing it, then I wasn't doing my job.
Right.
And you can adapt yourself to anything. Your body is specifically made to survive in this environment. Not only that, it's made to thrive. What you think is a hard time is not. What you think is a bad time is not, because we don't have those anyways. The only way you can measure your good times are off the difficult ones. Otherwise, you're measuring off somebody else's. It's incumbent upon you to put yourself into it. Otherwise, God's going to put you in there, and you're not going to be ready. And even when I saddled up, knowing I was going into it, he'd still throw me a ringer. And I mean, that's how I learned. On the outside, if you get hit, that pressure goes interior, inside, and it molds you, and it forms you into your brain, creates a pattern. So when you get hit the next time, it won't hurt as bad. You get hit again, it won't hurt at all. I explained that to my kid. He was asking me why I don't cry when I scratch my knee. I was like, well, I used to when I was your age. And I don't care how old you are. If you've never been in a situation, you will act like a child for the first time when you get into it. So as you grow up, you realize, like, yeah, I know it hurts, kind of like a sensor on your car. I see the blood and I can feel the pain, but it's not going to get any more intense than that, and that bleeding will stop, so I'm just going to keep going. Until ultimately you have to rip everything off of me. I mean, they tore me in half, and I'm still going. That's what y'all created. I couldn't have done that without y'all. I don't think you know exactly what it is you've created and how special y'all are, because we do our own lives. We go about your day-to-day activity, but in reality, man, what you guys are capable of, that's what I call you America's grace. Amazing grace. That's what y'all are. At any given time, you can give anybody anything, or you can take it away from them. We have the capacity to be we can be mean if we want to. And that's love. Love and evil, same word back and forth. Kind of like earth and heart, right? Same thing. But we're down here trying to figure out how to get through that. And when you saddle up for love, like, I'm going to love you. But guess what? In order to do that, we're going to have to go through some bad times so I can truly understand what loving you is all about. And that was the hardest thing for me to learn. Because normally when the bad stuff rolls on, you want to get out of there. But if you find that inkling of anything to stay in there for a second, it'll subside. And I don't care how hard you get hit. You can't even believe what you can take. I mean, you can't believe it. This thing is designed to stay alive. I mean, on your hardest day is nothing compared to
Sure. Man. Marcus talking about how we're designed. As I knew we were going to be discussing this, one thing that I wanted to ask you about is in the SEAL training this Hell Week. I've learned a lot, because what I thought, Marcus, was I thought Hell Week was probably the last week, and if you rang the bell, you were out, and if you didn't ring the bell, you became a SEAL. But tell us a little bit about what Hell Week really is.
Because the SEAL training is broken down into three phases. Four, technically, when you kind of, it's a holding pattern, all right? First phase, second phase, and third phase. First phase is just a gut check, beat down, mental and physical torture, just to make sure you have what it takes to go to follow-on training. And this is all just our basic stuff. It's around 13 weeks. Hell Week is right in the middle of it. Mine was the fifth week. Sometimes they'll move it depending on the class. And it's a day of buds. It's just 24/7 from Sunday till Friday. And they rotate the instructors around. All your instructors are SEALs. So they're just rotating around on you. They get the break, you don't. And it's a matter of how long can you go. They're going to show you what you can take. So we're in this room. They make us watch Shark Attack videos. I'll never forget that. Because in my high school yearbook, my greatest fear was getting eaten by a shark. It actually says that. And then I went to become a Navy SEAL. Who does that? Sometimes I look back at some of those moments and, like, probably should have thought more about that one.
Sure.
But it was the best life ever. Thank you for it. They come in, guns blazing, bomb blowing up, and the first place they send us is down to the ocean. And they leave us there for a few hours until somebody quits, usually. That's the way they get rid of us. She's the Pacific Ocean's our mother. And I joke about this. I didn't know that the Pacific Ocean never got warm. It wasn't in Texas history. It's either 58 to 64 degrees year-round. And they leave us there with her. You know how you temper steel? You get it really hot and really cold, and you beat the mess out of it. That's what they do to us there. That's what my instructor told me. He's like, you know what we're going to do to you? Beat you to death. Freeze you to death. And then do it again. And that's all that is. They pull us out of the water, and it starts. It's a two-mile run to eat breakfast, two-mile run to eat lunch, two-mile run to eat dinner, and then we eat again at midnight. And then we start again. And then they'll move us out to the ocean for a two-mile ocean swim. Then we'll come back in, and we'll go run the O course, which is twice the size of this room. And then they'll put us back in the ocean, and they'll pull us back out. Then we'll do a chow run. And everywhere we go, we've got this boat on our head. It's not very heavy. It's about 300 pounds. And they sit that thing up there and kind of run around with it. And guys' necks break. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, more guys down in our training than doing combat. So hitting gym and keeping you guys. But that's what makes us the way we are. In the beginning, they take everything we ever were away from us. And they build us back up moment by moment. Until we are what you want. What you wanted us to be. And the only way you can do that is with somebody. You can't go through it alone. You can't go through hell alone. And hell's in the middle. It's like right when you think you're getting a handle on something, they'll throw you into that just to see if you can take it. And you do it. You take it. Just stand there and take it. I don't care how hard you get hit. You get knocked down, get back up. I've had the bones knocked out of me. And I've been down on the ground. I mean, even the voices in my voice's head were saying, hey, we should probably stay down. You know what I mean? I mean, you laying on the ground looking at a cross like that, you're like, I'm just going to hang here for a second. See if I can feel that toe. Yeah, there it is. All right, get back up. And then eventually, whatever's doing it to you won't. They'll just get tired of it, or you'll overcome it. And then take a step forward. Man, I didn't get here real fast. I was just the weakest among us. Let me be perfectly clear about that. I just don't stay down. And I'll outwork you. I won't outthink you. I'll just outwork you. And my dad taught me that. And you know what I did? He put me around men who wouldn't tolerate anything other than that. It's kind of like when I got busted up in Afghanistan, I went back to Iraq for another deployment. People asked me why I did that. I was like, why wouldn't I? You know how much time and effort and money you've dumped into me? If I got air in my lungs, I can stand on my feet, you put my butt back to work, because that's what I am. It's just what I am. And if you look at me anything other than what you've designed, then you're looking at me wrong. Because the things that you've trained me to do and that I do with my crew are completely different. That's why you give us the respect we have. You don't have to pay us. We don't get. I never even looked at my paycheck. As soon as I threw that uniform on, that trident hit my chest, y'all have been taking care of me my whole life. I truly don't have the vocabulary. I get into this. My whole point, and when I get on stage now, is not to tell you about your boys, which I do, is to thank you. Because if you could only see an hour of my life, your jaw would hit the floor. Would y'all show me? Would y'all give? I don't even go out anymore because of how great y'all are. America's grace. You can't even believe it.
Marcus, you know, as you were there in Afghanistan in that 3-hour battle with the Taliban, you and your brothers there, you know, as you were falling off those mountains, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine what you went through. But, Marcus, there was something that every time you would fall, there was something that would be close by, right?
My rifle. I couldn't throw it away. And to finish up talking about Hell Week, so as we go through the days, I always tried to make it to Chow. I was like, a lot of people look for the future. Like, they'll look at me, I'm going to graduate. Well, no, let's back that sucker up and hit the low gear. That's what you do when things are tough. I'm not looking back what's going on in an hour. I'm looking about like 5 minutes. So we're going to make it through that. And when you hit that low gear and you just start pushing, just go. Take it all. And then we go till Friday, they secure us. And the only thing you get going through Hell Week is a t-shirt. Because in the beginning, you got a white one. When you graduate, they give you a brown one. It took me forever to realize that the only thing I got out of that was a t-shirt. And I don't even know where it's at right now. But going through what I went through in training is how I knew I could make it out in the mountain. So I just went through Hell Week again. But everyone was, shot up. It was bad. And in the beginning of the operation, SEALs, we love our gear. Everything you guys issue us, we have to take care of it. We maintain it. Now, I'm not saying we don't try to outwork it. We do that. We try to outwork our gear. So if we break it, but we don't abuse it because y'all get rid of us. I mean, we lose something, it's over. Put my finger on the trigger before I try to engage, it's over. And if I lose any of that, it's definitely. So in the beginning of that gunfight, I had all my gear. At the end of it, I was naked, and all my gear was gone. I just had my rifle left. And no matter how many times because it got ripped out of my lanyard. I mean, I'd flip. I'd sit up, and the thing would be stuck in a rock right beside me. And I'd pick it up, man, we'd go to work again. And they'd flip me in a different direction. And that rifle, I could see it and hear it. And I'd look up, and it's going to be sitting right there. And I lasted for over a day. I even slid down the side of the mountain into a river. I was trying to get something to drink. Don't ever do this. This is a bad mistake. Write this down. I just tried to slide down in it, and it didn't work, and I turned upside down, and that rifle, I could see it sliding down beside me, and when I flipped into the river, my knees hit me in the face and knocked me out. And when I came to, my rifle was laying over my face. And it was at least 15, 20 feet away from me when I was going down that hill. And I'm talking about a long way. It's the only thing I came out with was my rifle. That's the only thing I was supposed to come out with. You know, big deal. You don't turn that thing back in, I guess.
Marcus, can you look circumstances like that in others Can you look over your life and see God's hand and God's plan in your life?
Everything we do. Before you come down here, imagine you wrote out your plan. Kind of signed it off by the boss, signed off on it. And then we come down into your entry point, and then you got the exit. And then all the roads in between lead eventually to it, but you can go any way you want. I always joke that he's got one hand on my butt, so if I get out of line, he'll swap me. And he's got one hand on my chest. In case I go too fast, he'll take my wind from me. And then the in-between, he messes with me. But you got to know a God who would create all this has to have a great sense of humor, right? Never forget that part. And everyone's sense of humor is different. So when you take the time to walk with the Lord, depending on where you want to walk with him, where you want to walk with him, make sure you're ready for it. Because there'll be times you get into a pit where you're the only one in there with him.
That's right.
And he's going to be okay. And so will you if you don't lose faith in that. Because that's what fathers do. Like you said, you want to come down here and be a tough guy. How tough are you feeling now, homie? Because everybody's dead. And it's just me and you sitting here in this hole in the middle of nowhere. I wrote, God would give me justice. I scratched it on a wall. They put me in this hole. And I was high enough on them mountains, I'm pretty sure he was hearing me. I was like,
sure.
I was like, sir, it's Marcus again. I know you don't like me checking in. But I was like, I managed to get myself into, you ain't even going to believe. I'm going to need some help on this one. And he's like, I'll help you, but I'm going to mess with you for a while.
Right.
So anytime I'm somewhere and I start getting messed with real hard, I know that's him. And when I wake up in the morning and like one thing goes wrong, like something serious, like a flat tire, you miss your plane. If one thing goes wrong, that's life, right? If two major events kind of go wrong in your day, you know you ain't behind the wheel. That's the boss driving. He's about to take you for a ride. So just kind of saddle up and enjoy it. And that's how you learn. That's where you get the you know, from 0 to 40, you just have an opinion. Sorry, you youngsters, but that's just what you got. 40 to 60 is your perspective, and then your wisdom drops in after that. So have fun with your opinion.
For whatever it's worth, I agree with what he just said.
I mean, there's a cosmic shift when you hit that. It's yes. They say that, and you're like, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about, old man. You're like, whatever. And watch this.
Marcus, when I think about the fact of what you went through in Afghanistan, and I think about all the surgeries, your back broken, just everything that you went through, I understand maybe you even bit your tongue completely in two. What all you went through, and then you somewhat get over it, Marcus, and then you suit back up and go to Iraq. A question I wrote down that I wanted to ask you, Marcus. I really do. Marcus, what causes you to love America so deeply?
Y'all do. I'm America's grace. I can't. What you've shown me, and it's progressed over time. Like in the beginning, I was like, that's what I was made for. And I got back up. When you look at me, you need. And if there's something going down and I'm not in it, you need to be upset about that. I signed up for that, to be an expendable asset, to die if necessary. That was the sexiest thing I heard. And the guys that I around with, there's not very many of us, but we're here. And when every time I would get broken and y'all was like, all right, now we're going to put this titanium spine in you. You ain't going to break again. I looked at you like that was I was like, thank you. Oh, my God. And then you're like, get back up. You're good. Every one of y'all, when y'all look at me, you're like, you're good. So I'm an example of what you can take. Because I'm weaker than you were ever. Never forget that. I just got turned into this over time. Like I said, I came here to bleed. Some of us do that so others don't have to. And I never felt bad about it. I never felt sorry, abused, misplaced. I mean, I felt love my entire life from y'all. Hospital. I mean, I would get beat up so bad. You know, you get beat up bad when there's people wearing masks and blue suits. You're like, this guy is even human here? And they put me back together and then put me back online. I couldn't believe it. I was so thankful for y'all. Y'all pulled me out of hell. I had to go there to see what I was made of. And they, you know, the boss dropped the hammer on me pretty hard. He might have left me down there a little bit longer than I should have been, but whatever. Like I said, he's got a great sense of humor. And as I come back and you get stronger, we get stronger together. I couldn't have done this. I mean, they talk about people needing therapy. I get up here and look at you, looking at me. And what do you tell me? If you're telling me that I'm supposed to be okay and that I did a good job, then I did. Why would I think otherwise? Because that's what you designed me for. I'll never break on that, especially now. You know, you guys hooked me up with some pretty cool hardware, so I'm pretty thankful for that.
Marcus, you talked about God's plan and how God's used your life and he's used all of our lives. But I heard you say something, you know, about being a seal and the fact that you could die. The fact that three of your dearest friends did die. And the fact that every one of us are going to die. And you said something that it was a line that you used that I'll probably use. But you was asked, did you fear death and do you fear death? You made a statement. You said no, because I wrote that check a long time ago. I wrote that check a long time ago. You listen to me closely, folks. Whether you're Marcus Luttrell, you're Benny Tate, no matter who you are, it's imperative that you've written that check. It's imperative that you know that your heart's right with God, because eternity's too long to be wrong.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.